It is 11 a.m. Time for the Josephine County Board of Commissioners, consisting of Commissioner Hare and myself today. We are convening as the governing board of the 4-H Extension Service District in the BCC Conference Room. And we have in attendance...
Nobody Uner.
Sue Hunt.
John Punches.
I'm here.
And we've already introduced you. Don't try to get double duty. Okay, so we have convened, and we are at your disposal, Mr. Punches.
Thank you very much. So each year we appoint one new member to the district's budget committee. This year, the person who rotated off was Al Cook. I had sent him a note to ask him if he wanted to serve another term, but hadn't heard back from him. We also had sent out some other feelers just to see if we could broaden the number of people interested in that. Sam Engel, who works with Josephine County Food Bank, said that he was interested in serving, and so we have an application from him to serve as the new committee member for our budget committee. So I hope you've seen that application. I'm not sure if it got sent to you, but
I did not see this one.
Do you know him?
Yeah. I mean, I know him from the food bank.
Yeah. So he's willing to serve on the budget committee. I think it would bring a good perspective. I like this option. One, he's the only person who applied.
Yeah.
But the other does help is that we have Peter Fernarelli was brought on last year, and he's a retired postmaster and a retired Coast Guard Coastie. What do you call a Coast Guard? Veteran. He's a veteran of Coast Guard. And he has several years of experience with our Master Gardener program. Johnny Anderson is a local business person, and she has many years of experience with our 4-H program. And so this kind of rounds it out and gives us another person from that reflects kind of a different program area.
Perfect.
So that's the option. And then I've prepared a resolution for that. And one of the things that's always been challenging since we set up the schedules for these is just because of the timing when we started the process, the terms have run from the end of April through the, 3 years later. But that splits right in between the budget season. And so some years, if it had anything needed to be carried over, it would actually carry over to some different members. And so what I'm proposing this year is we would appoint Sam beginning April 29th. So that's the day that the other term ended, but run it through June 30th, 2018. So that will actually give him 3 years when he serves on the budget committee,
Perfect.
Even though it's not technically three calendar years. And then if it's okay, I'll just continue to do that as we rotate to the other one, so we'll get on a June 30 cycle, which is probably where it should be. That makes sense. So that would just, I guess, take a motion to approve. This is resolution 2016-038 4-H.
Mr. Chair, I so move to approve resolution 2016-038.
And I will second that motion. Any other comments on that?
Yes, sir.
Other than to say all in favor of the unanimous vote,
aye.
So it passed unanimously. And Mr. Punches, glad to see that you can look forward to a fully staffed committee.
Yeah.
And that will be complimentary to the budget season.
Yes. Yes.
Somebody had a good idea back someplace. But.
So the other thing, I just wanted to bring you up to date on a couple of things that are happening that will reflect in the budget. And just in fairness to you as the board, I wanted to give you some heads up on that. So we've had difficulty with our parking lot there. It's collectively used by several different organizations, and it's seen a lot of wear. And there's a section of it that's been cold patched until it's just patches on top of patches. It's fallen apart. And so your new property manager, Mike Watson, came out and looked at it, pulled all the parties together, and he's working on a plan to get that repaired and actually improved to the point where the area that gets the heaviest use and some of the heavy-duty uses from buses driving over it will be reinforced and actually able to carry that load. I went back through all the different facilities agreements, and the agreement that allows us to function there is actually an agreement between the district as the tenant, basically, and the county as the landlord.
Mm-hmm.
And it commits the district to providing 18% of the funding necessary to maintain the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And so that's the conversation that Mike has all worked that into the budget. So you'll see that in the budget. I think that could be anywhere from about $14,000 to $18,000 worth of funding. I'm going to budget a little bit of extra just to make sure, but that seems like a really viable and necessary use.
Good.
So that piece will be in there. I haven't heard back from him about his discussions with the other people who use the area.
Yeah.
Because part of that, I think, is going to be challenging, because my understanding is there has not been an agreement, a specific written agreement with the bus company that uses that for ingress and egress. So that'll be part of the challenge. But that's somebody else's challenge. I'm just letting you know that I'm planning to budget for the portion that's in our contract.
That's great. I've been familiar with this from the beginning.
Yeah.
And we will figure it out. They don't actually have any easement through the
parking lot. No, they don't.
So
they don't.
The alternative to them not being able to put in their fair share, which I really appreciate you setting that aside already, is that they'll have to utilize that their only easement access, which is along the canal.
Yeah.
It should probably not be. There's a reason why they don't use it now, because it's not convenient.
Yeah.
So we'll get there.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not sure that we're going to do the full-blown dig-out asphalt replacement. I think that there's versions that will get us to where we need to be, that will save us a little bit of money, not cost us as much, with a probably very similar return, because it's been compacted my entire life. So I don't know that we need to scare it. Take out all of the asphalt, put down a new 10-inch bed of aggregate, and then pave over it. I don't think that's the problem. It's just it hasn't been maintained for 30 years.
Yeah.
And that's why it failed, not because of the bed being not sufficiently compacted or whatever. So it's just my humble opinion. I think this the version that Mike put out is option one. And went with the more expensive one, we might be able to do it. It'll depend on what they can come up with. So I appreciate that.
Well, we're certainly planning to fund it in, because we'd love to see it.
It needs to be done.
The bottom line is it needs to be done. So
how?
There's something else again.
Yeah.
So then the other piece that I'm planning for, last year we spent quite a bit of time talking about me potentially bringing in a temporary building to provide some additional office space, and then the emphasis kind of shifted. Well, maybe Food and Friends is going to move out. They'll free up the space. And when we actually ran all the numbers on what it would cost to bring in the temporary unit, it was going to be prohibitively expensive.
Yeah.
It just didn't make sense at that point. So we've not, of course, spent any of that money in this fiscal year where we had budgeted it. But I'm going to roll some of that forward to next year with the anticipation that it's possible that Food and Friends may vacate the building before the end of the next fiscal year. So
we signed an agreement a month ago committing the county to the CBDG grant funds of $600,000 to them for them to acquire that new building. So things are moving forward with that, and they're looking to shore up the balance of what they need by a couple hundred thousand. So it's not out of the realm of possibility for them to possibly be out in a year.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking. And so just on the contingency that maybe it happens in that time frame, I'm going to roll some of those funds forward, because I know that when that space comes back to us, we're going to have to make certain improvements there to convert it back into the space that is usable for us. They made certain modifications that will go away, and there'll be lighting and probably some heating and air conditioning that needs to be done there. So I've got some of those worked into that as well as providing for, you know, actually equipping it with network connections and telephone lines and that kind of stuff. So I've incorporated that. You'll see that come up, and I'll put that in my budget list. I just wanted you to have advance notice of that. And then I'd like to ask if I could work with Mike and see if we could redo our agreement. It's the agreement between the district and the county. That's the one I'm talking about that is kind of the lease for that. It currently is scheduled to run out in 2020, so 4 years from now. And
we better start now.
I'm actually thinking that if we're going to start talking about putting a substantial amount of money into the building, I'd feel better if I did that with a longer time frame on that.
Sure.
So I'd like to go ahead and start that process. And then within it, there's always been a clause in there that said basically in lieu of rent, you could pay towards maintenance of the buildings. And it's got a strangely worded clause in there about paying into a fund for future maintenance, but it's never really been actionable, because it kind of says we're supposed to do it through the district, but it kind of says we're supposed to do it through OSU, and it's not really clear. And we've consistently through OSU, you know, with district reimbursement, put in more than the required amount, but yet at the same time we've had a building fund where we've stored up money. And that's right within the district budget, which seems to me that that's kind of the logical place to do that. I'd rather get us on a cycle where we're putting some money aside every year into a building slash maintenance fund so that when we need to replace a roof, if we need to do more parking lot maintenance, that's the place where that is. Mm-hmm. And then that would show up easily in the district budget records every year when we do the budget process.
Yeah, the previous wording was when he was in charge of that, so I can understand that. Miasme in this effort, but
his left arm gets worn.
His left arm gets worn out pointing it at. Yeah.
But I think that's a good, and I think this is a perfect fit for the properties guy. For that, Mike, be a perfect fit for him, and I'm sure that would be agreeable to work out how it's going to be.
So we'll work on that, and then the other piece that comes up that's directly connected to that is there's in the authorization for the building fund, those have to be renewed every 10 years, and that comes up this year. Mm. And the language that's in there, and has been in there forever, it predates you all. It says that the money's being set aside for the district to purchase those buildings and property from the county, which doesn't really make any sense to me because it doesn't really do anything except...
You can't imagine there's ever that intent.
Yeah, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. So I would like to just reframe that.
Absolutely.
So that it says that it's for... provision of buildings to carry out that mission.
Sure.
And so that if something were to happen to those and we decided we needed to be someplace else, it could be used for that. If it needs to be used for maintenance, I think we have that flexibility. I've written up some language, passed it by Arthur O'Hare. He said, yeah, go for it. So I'll pull together a resolution, and we'll use that during the budget process to redo that.
Sure.
I think, I'm not sure what point. I'm going to try to get a hold of the original resolution and see when it was actually done. Mm-hmm. And then we'll kind of time. I think it was done in June, so probably at the June meeting when we do the adoption, time to redo that. That way the budget information will be known by then, and we can just do all that once.
Sounds reasonable.
So those are the things that were on my list just to give you a heads up about, so that it didn't come as a complete surprise when you have the other meetings.
No, that's good. Yeah. I mean, it's just common sense stuff, so I realize it's sometimes as an anomaly, but this one should be.
Enough, it's kind of ironic that there's things that they're still out there that you. These are logical things like.
Yeah, and some of the things like the language for the building thing that only comes up every 10 years.
Yeah.
So we've been saying every year, well, in 2016, we're probably going to revisit that.
Fix that.
So that makes sense to do it.
Yeah.
I wonder if another thing for Mike that we've talked about is finding a permanent location that would really suit 4-H and that we could start working on that project, because I don't want it to be another board that sees what is this building fund for in 10 years and figuring that whole process out.
So
that we're making good use of the HVAC investment, that if it will last 2 years or whatever, or three, if we have a plan, I think that we should have that discussion.
So the current site, I think, actually works quite well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a question of whether you think the county would have alternative uses for that site and want to use it for something different. Extension needs a place where we have office space. Mm-hmm. We've got that there, and we're going to get back the extra that we need. We need conference space, and once we reclaim that, we'll have the two conference rooms that we need there. That works pretty well. We need greenhouse space that Master Gardeners would always like more, but you could give them the entire county and it wouldn't.
Right.
So it's always opportunity for expansion. And we need parking space, and having that facility there that makes use of the shared parking space between the different entities, mm-hmm. that's what makes it feasible.
Sure.
The district's tax base is not big enough probably for us to find similar facilities that we used exclusively. Yeah. We wouldn't be able to afford either the rent or the construction fee or the upkeep fee of a parking lot that big. And so it makes sense to have those shared facilities. And so I would be comfortable just saying that's our spot and we're going to stay there and we'll make the improvements we need to make it fully functional.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you think that there would be some other impending use for that site. There was lots of talk about that at one time. We thought it was going to become an off-ramp or a bridge abutment or something of that nature.
No,
that's off the table.
That is. Transportation-wise, that wouldn't be the impact. It would be back on the street to give a thorough through fare.
Yeah.
I think that's still a proposal with the Allen Creek redevelopment, putting a light in there. It's still possible to tie into that, but it wouldn't impact you guys at all.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at, is that the best and highest use, putting public works and transit specifically in that area? But I think you guys, as long as the fairgrounds is there, you guys will likely be in that area. It makes a lot of sense. So it's finding that alternative and making it work.
It's
going to cost a lot of money to do something else. I see there's a, everybody has to realize there's a lot of value to that 72 acres that's sitting there that maybe isn't being utilized on a daily basis to the highest and best use. Well, where do we put the fair if it isn't there?
Yeah.
And everybody says, well, if you move it, you won't do any, you won't build a new one. I'm like, with the potential revenue on 72 acres, we could afford to build you a Taj Mahal and have money left over. So it's just finding that location that would be really well suited for everybody. I don't know where that is. We're looking at that. Public Works is we're working on a project to relocate Public Works and Transit and likely forestry, parks offices and stuff off of that campus into a consolidated facility with ODOT and maybe the city of Grants Pass. City needs to use their 5 acres more efficiently for a new water treatment facility. And you can't build a new one on the existing footprint, so you have to build a new one and then transition it over time and then free up the old one. So that's a major project, and the very logical likely place is where their existing public works is right now. It's ironic that all of the main lines that need to feed a new water filtration system are right there.
Interesting.
They're not that far away from the original one. So, and it makes sense to co-locate public works facilities for a host of different reasons.
Yeah.
But so that's something on the, I don't think that campus would work well for what you guys do.
Probably
it's
not.
Less public and more ODOT, big trucks.
I mean, it would make sense if you had a spot that you were looking at for, you know, providing senior services and youth services and educational services. I mean, some of our extension offices around the site are co-located with fairgrounds. That can work. Some of them are co-located with community colleges. Sometimes that works, but just, you know, it varies from county to county. But I would say by far most of the extension offices are co-located with the county courthouse or something of that nature. So those are the most common ones.
What's the greenhouse space need?
So for our master gardener,
it isn't required on that campus, but it would be. Nice.
Not necessarily, but it's nice to have it close by. That way when they're teaching classes and they can go right out. So right now they're using areas along that back fence. Yeah. And what they've proposed to do, what the master gardeners have asked me about, and we're looking at different space options, and I'll be chatting with Mike about this, is the ability to come in and do raised beds in some places, which particularly in front of the current auditorium, there's a kind of like an asphalt desert there in front on each side of the entryway.
Yep.
It isn't used for anything. It's blocked off.
Right.
And those would be good places to put in some raised beds and let them do some demonstration gardening. And then they, of course, are looking at there's a triangle of space, just the shape of the property is kind of triangular.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a space right behind an existing building that we used to kind of keep open to store fair stuff in, but it doesn't really get used for that. So they would like to investigate that. We're going to have to just look at different competing uses. And,
You know,
we're meeting tonight to have some conversations around that. So I think that there's, you know, the opportunities to do lots there.
Mm-hmm.
I have been encouraged by one of the master gardeners to go down and look at the old Forest Service transportation spot that's over, actually it's right over here. I looked at that. It's intriguing, but it would cost, I would guess, at least $2 million in order to
on the auction block.
Get it.
Jump up?
So, not seeing how that could work, and it's in really rough shape.
Yeah. It is in really rough shape.
So we've looked
at a lot of buildings, a lot of storage space. They're not in bad shape structurally. Aesthetically, they need some attention. Mm-hmm. But I've gone through all of them.
Have you? Mm-hmm. I haven't. I've only just toured around it, but I noticed that there's places where there's literally holes in the roofs.
Yeah. That one was a
cosmetic.
Result of a fire. That one building is not good.
Yeah. So that seems well beyond our capacity.
Yeah.
And not ideally located.
No. The college is an intriguing partnership.
Yeah.
RCC. But I know they probably wouldn't want to encumber too much of their campus because they're always looking. Who knows how big they're ever going to get, you know. Oregon State never expected to be like 150 acres, but they started out.
Understandable.
So, yeah. Well, those are something to think about.
Those are the things on my mind.
Great.
So you know.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
There was a letter to the editor 2 months ago, month and a half ago, referencing reallocation of the, you know, sunsetting OSU's tax, 4-H tax. A permanent district. And I met with the woman who wrote that, and I told her, I said, you'd have a hard time, in my opinion. But I wonder if in this budget we don't make some sort of a special emphasis to making sure that the community is aware of what they get for their 4.67 cents or whatever per thousand. I know you guys do actually a pretty good job of your Facebook presence, but it might... What I was thinking is that everybody who reads the paper probably votes, or at least is registered. And that might be a very concerted place to dial in, to just periodically have something in there. I know you guys advertise for Master Gardeners classes and things, but like a did you know, this is what...
We could see if we could get it.
This is the number of kids that we work with, or... The number of the dollar of the 4-H stuff that comes through, the number of master gardeners, how many hours of volunteering they contribute to the community.
So we've done
stuff like that. It doesn't have to be a big ad, but you could probably even get a very reasonable price talking to the courier. But it would probably be worth your bang for your buck to consider that as part of what you do.
So we've done those kinds of updates for you the last several years.
Yeah.
Right. So we could maybe
boil it down.
This year, that's scheduled during the budget hearing.
Because
that's the one that's in the ambassador.
Right.
And that way it can
be televised and out there.
So that will be out that way.
I'm not suggesting that you actually haven't been doing a good job, because when I talked to the lady, I said that's just not where people are probably going to want to go for 5 cents, a thousand.
Mm-hmm.
I think 4-H is pretty solid in this community.
Yeah.
But I don't think you ever want to...
No, take it for granted
that position is there, because just a thought.
Yeah.
You're out there. Is that, can you concur? It's just one of those.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, we have this strange disease here that anything that is successful is corrupt. And it's my duty as this brain ass to make sure that that's known by the people. And you just can't take for granted that, you know, that a successful program you have, and people have been involved in it for years and years and years, and everybody's got this heritage, it goes on and on, everybody's got 4-H, and that's just not adequate today to rest and go, okay, well, everybody knows better than that. Yeah, they should, but for some reason there's just the air is somehow, it gets a little cloudy.
Yeah.
So.
Caps.
And it's, you know, just to try and put on the good stuff that happens. I mean, take Joe Schmatz, who's now the, you know, whatever, and say, yeah. And he started right here in Josephine County 4-H program, doing whatever, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Personalize it and make people aware of what really the positive things that we just sort of take for granted that occur.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not for granted. There's a lot of work that goes into that, helping these kids get to be successful. And we've been part of that because we've been supporting, you know, just to make that a tied in with the people. So,
I think it'd be worth it.
Sure.
Was this the lady from Merlin that was concerned that the money that was going to 4-H should have been better used to have patrol out in Merlin?
Okay. Yeah. I think that was her general premise, is that, you know, looking at how the tax dollars are spent generally, holistically. And, you know, you can go everywhere and say there's something that you could be doing better.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how our system is set up, nor should it be, I think. You know, otherwise, do we appropriate the $74 million that we collect in taxes, you know, on a prioritization? No. And you didn't, public didn't want us to.
Mm-hmm.
We're not lords of the manor, kings of the castle. We don't get to distinguish. We get $4 million of that 70-something plus million dollars, and that's what we get to prioritize,
mm-hmm.
not the whole enchilada. So, yeah, anything I can do to help out. There's a whole list, I'm sure, of 4-H success stories of kids out there. I don't think it's just limited to 4-H. That's obviously your shining star.
Sure.
You know, but there's a lot of stats that would just blow people away.
Yeah, and actually, National is taking a really hard look at it across the United States and putting together a alumni.
Yeah.
So go on and register, because they're going to let all of us know within the counties who within our county is actually registered as an alumni, so that we can go out and start gathering that kind of information.
Sure.
Because otherwise, we don't know.
Yeah. No, it's really hard. You'd have to spend a lot of time going mm-hmm. through the old rosters and Googling people and be like, whoa, some of these people have done incredible things.
Yeah, and again, they've moved, so you know, they may live here, but you know, had 4-H in another state somewhere.
Yeah.
So, and we're going to get access to that information in the future. Mm-hmm. So that
should be very cool. John Dillinger was a 4-H member.
No, they're not all. Yeah.
I think it turned out otherwise.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else for the good of the order?
That is all, sir.
Okay, good deal. Are you anything else you
want
to chip in, sir? It is 11:27, and this meeting is finished.